God, I pray that you would please just help us to understand the truth as it's preached this morning, and that every single person here would take heed to God's word as it's preached. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now the verse that I want to preach on in this chapter is verse number 1, where the Bible reads, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now look at those words carefully. He says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that," look at the last two words, "without remedy." And the title of my sermon this morning is this, "Too Late." Too late is the title of the sermon. Now, we live in a time where we think that there's always a remedy to whatever situation we're in. We think there's always going to be a second chance or a way out or some way to solve the problem. And we always think that there's going to be hope or a second chance. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you that sometimes there can come a point where there is no remedy, where it's too late and where things have gone too far. Now, I'm not preaching this morning to lament the mistakes of anyone's past. The Bible says in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You see, we ought not sit and worry about the past. And if you're saved this morning, I hope that you're here and you know Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're saved, if you've been born again, then your sins are all forgiven and forgotten. And the Bible says that God has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And thank God, if you're saved, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins will never even be mentioned to you when you walk on the golden streets of heaven. And so I'm not here to talk about anybody's past. I don't care about the past. God doesn't care about the past. He said, forget the things that are behind. Reach forth unto the things that are before. But the purpose of this morning's sermon is to warn those who have not yet made the mistakes. To warn those for whom it is not too late. That's the purpose of the sermon. So I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to warn those for whom it's not too late. Now, if you would, look at Hebrews chapter 12. We just read Proverbs, but turn to Hebrews chapter 12 at the very end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 15. You see, there comes a time in people's life where it's just too late. There comes a time in our lives about many different things where it's too late. The consequences are already there. There's no remedy. Let me give you an example of a person for whom it was too late. Esau in the Old Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. The Bible says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator." You say, what's a fornicator? That's a person who sleeps with someone that they're not married to. Is that clear enough to where you understand what we're talking about? It's somebody who sleeps with a person that they're not married to. The Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau. That's the type of person that Esau was. "Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." You see, Esau was a man who let physical, fleshly appetites rule his body. And in the story in Genesis, we know that he sold his whole birthright. He sold his whole identity of who he was as the firstborn son of Isaac, the great patriarch, the progenitor of Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. He sold his birthright to his brother for a bowl of soup. I mean, how carnal could you be where you would just eat a little bit of food and sell your whole life down the river? And he said not only that, he didn't stop there. The Bible says he was a fornicator. And so for the physical pleasure of fornicating and sleeping around, he was willing to defy God and profane his life. And there came a time in his life when he cried and begged to change, but it was too late. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. You see, remember this statement, pleasure for a moment, pain for a lifetime. Remember that. Pleasure for a moment, and pain for a lifetime. Ask yourself this question, is it worth it? I mean, I saw a billboard for Budweiser by the freeway, and it said, "Budweiser, always worth it." It's a lie. It's never worth it. And you know, oh man, it was so fun, it was so cool. Hey, it's not worth it to drink. It's not worth it to fornicate. It's not worth it to ruin your life. One day you're going to cry and wish that it had been otherwise like Esau did, but it'll be too late then. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 19. I want to talk to you about a lot of different subjects this morning about which it can often be too late in our lives. Proverbs chapter 19. Number one, one day it's going to be too late. It'll be too late to raise your children one day. I'm talking to those that have children right now. Look at Proverbs 19:18. The Bible reads in Proverbs 19:18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." Did you hear that? Chase that. One day there won't be any more hope, my friend. And I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that there's always a second chance. There's always another way out. No, he said, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." And he said, "And let not thy soul spare for his crying." Look at Proverbs 23, just four chapters later. I'm not very good at math. But look at Matthew 23:13. It says, "Withhold not correction from the child." Proverbs 23:13. "For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell." Look at chapter 13. Just go back 10 chapters. Proverbs 13:24. And we'll see the same thing again. He says in Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." That's pretty strong language, isn't it? "But he that loveth him chasteneth him," and what's the last word? "Betimes." Now, many people don't understand the word betimes, and it's not a word that we use in our modern vernacular, but if you look it up in a dictionary, it means one thing and one thing alone. Early is what it means. "He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Chasteneth him early. Chasten him while there is hope, the Bible says. Hey, you got to start out young with your children. And if you have little children, hey, you've got to discipline them. You've got to chasten them. You've got to spank them. You've got to beat them, the Bible says. And you say, oh man, beating your children? I'm not talking about doubling your fists and beating them. But the Bible uses the word beat, talking about spanking them, you know, on the part of their body that's designed with a little padding to receive a spanking. And God says, you've got to do it early. You've got to start young. You've got to do it while there's hope. Because one day, when you're faced with that rebellious teenager, when you're faced with that wicked young adult, it's going to be too late.
That's right.
And those of you who have young children, you need to listen to me. Now is the time to be raising your children. Many times you see adults with adult children, and they'll try to raise their adult children, but it's too late. You should have taken care of that when they were a small child. That's what the Bible teaches. Chasing them betimes. Chasing them while there's hope. And you say, why does the Bible use the word beat? You know, it sounds like they're getting a beating or beating them up. And I'm not condoning child abuse. I think that spanking should be given on their rear end, you know. And it should be not some kind of an abusive pummel or punch or, you know, whatever. But I think God used the word beat because he knew that a bunch of parents would say, I spank my kids. And this is how they spank their kids.
Yeah.
No, no. Now look, that doesn't hurt me.
Nope.
Doesn't hurt. And so God used the word beat because look, this isn't beat. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now look, can I show you how I spank my kids? Okay, look. First I take my belt off. Alright? And I take my belt off and I spank them like this. And you know what? They can feel that.
Yeah.
And you know what? And by the way, if you have to spank your kids every 10 minutes, you're doing something wrong. Because, you know, when I spank my kids, it lasts them for a little while.
Right.
You know? And when I got spanked when I was a kid, it lasted for a couple days when I got spanked. I mean, I guess I don't spank that hard, but when I was a kid, I mean, I had the fear of God for the next few days. I wasn't going to make a mistake.
Right.
I'm serious. Yeah. And you know, you say, why do you take your belt off and do that? Because people don't know how to spank. I mean, we live in a day where kids are rebellious punks. They do whatever they want. They mouth off to everybody. No respect for authority. Why? Because they don't get spanked.
Right.
Because they get a little pat on the fanny, and the parents think that they've disciplined them. Hey, you're just teaching your kids that discipline's a joke.
That's right.
And the problem is that one day they're going to grow up and leave your house, and they're going to be faced with a spanking from God, and it's not going to be a pat on their rear end.
Right.
You better teach them that you get a real spanking from mom and dad, and you get a real spanking from God one day. It's the truth. But many people have come to a point, they say, oh man, what happened to my kids? What did I do? But then it's too late. I'm trying to warn you before it's too late. You got to chasten your son while there's hope. Don't spare for his crying, the Bible says. But kids cry when they get a spanking. Oh man, I'm gonna back off. Hey, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Right. Oh, I love him too much to spank him. You're a liar.
Right.
You don't love him enough to spank him. That's what the Bible says.
Right. Amen.
If you love them, you'll spank them. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so spanking your kids shows that you care about them and love them. And you know, if you're a child and you're listening to me right now and you get spankings, you got to thank God that mom and dad love you.
Right.
You got to be thankful that your parents really love you, because that's what the Bible says. But not only one day will it be too late to raise your children. Look at Revelation 14. Here's a chilling thought. Revelation chapter number 14. Last book in the Bible, Revelation 14. Revelation chapter 14, the Bible reads in verse 10. And I want to say this. Not only one day is it going to be too late for you to raise your children. Too late. Once they go out of the house, you better just hope that you did it right. And that's a pretty sobering thought. But not only that, it's too late for those who are in hell, the Bible teaches. Look at Revelation 14:10. The Bible says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." Did you read that? And it says, "And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." You see, the Bible says that those who are in hell will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's a horrible thought. I can't even comprehend it with my human mind. I've never to this day been able to wrap my mind around hell and understand how horrible hell really is. But the Bible teaches clearly, there's no such thing as purgatory.
Right.
Purgatory is a lie of the Roman Catholic Church to tell people that, if you're bad and if you've sinned and done wrong, you'll just go to a temporary place called purgatory and it's like a hell, but you'll get out someday. You'll have hope someday. There will be a remedy someday. And God says no. He says you'll be destroyed without remedy.
Right.
He says you'll be tormented forever and ever. And by the way, if you're sitting in church this morning, you've got to be a fool if you go to hell. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I mean, if God has made it so easy, if God has died on the cross and was buried and rose again, and he says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Hey, you've got to be a fool if you go to hell. When the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say, "Oh, I can't give up my sin." You don't have to give up your sin. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
If you have to give up your sin to go to heaven, I'm not going. And neither is anybody in this room. Because we're all sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so you have to understand that God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ has paid it all for our salvation. But if you go to hell, I'm here to tell you something. There is no second chance.
Right.
You'll be destroyed without remedy. You'll be tormented day and night forever and ever and have no rest. And the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever. That's a chilling thought. The Bible says in Matthew 25:41, and if you would, turn to Luke 16. Matthew 25:41 reads, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then in verse 46 he says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." You say, what is that? A punishment that lasts forever. I'm talking about eternal hell. He says, "But the righteous into life eternal." But look at Luke 16. And by the way, I said get saved before it's too late, because the Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today is the day of salvation. But look at Luke 16 and we'll see the third day. Not only will it one day be too late to raise your kids. Hey, it's already too late for those who are in hell. But did you know that one day it'll be too late for you to win people to Christ? You know, the ones that you love? Your friends, your co-workers, your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your cousins, your uncles, your closest friends, the people who you love. Hey, one day it's going to be too late to win them to the Lord. Look at Luke 16. We'll see what we're talking about. Luke 16, 23, the Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this," watch this, "between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Now wait a minute. Oftentimes I think we read over this verse and we miss a truth of this verse. Look at the verse a little more carefully. He says that they which would pass from hence, where's Abraham? In heaven. Abraham and Lazarus are in heaven. The rich man's burning in hell. He says, they that would pass from hence to you cannot. Did you notice that? Now, we're thinking of, man, people who are in hell wish they could go to heaven, right? Man, they want to get out of there. And that's talked about in the latter part of the verse where he says, they that would come from thence, you know, can't come to where we are here. The word here, hence, means from here. And the word thence means from there. So he says here that there are people, listen to this, who are wishing that they could go to hell to try to help the rich man, or help their loved ones, or somehow give them some kind of relief, or at least talk to them, or see them. Do you see that? I mean, he says that there are people in hell who they wish that they could go to heaven, obviously. That's everybody. But then there are people who are in heaven who would like to pass over into the depths of hell so that they could try to reach that loved one, or give them a drop of water, or try to win them to Christ, or do something. But he says they can't. There's a great gulf fixed. And I'm going to tell you something. One day, you may be in heaven wishing to see that person that you love. Wishing that you could give them the gospel. Wishing you could give them a drink of water or help them or do something for them. But it'll be too late to do anything for them. But now, it's not too late. Now you can go out and win souls to Christ. Hey, now you can be out this afternoon, right after the service. Hey, we'll feed you. We'll give you something to drink. We'll put a Bible in your hand. We'll put invitations to church in your hand. And we will take you out winning people to Christ, because it's not too late. But one day it will be too late. It'll be too late one day. I'm going to read my Bible all throughout eternity. I read my Bible a lot now. I love to read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible all throughout eternity. I love to pray. I read the Bible. I'm going to pray all throughout eternity. Speak to God. I love church. I'm going to be going to church all throughout eternity in heaven. The church of the firstborn. The general assembly in heaven. I love to sing the hymns. And I'm going to be singing the hymns all throughout eternity in heaven. But you know, I love to win souls. And I'm never going to be able to win souls again once I get to heaven. Think about that. Because everybody up there is saved. And I can't. You can't go to hell and try to get anybody saved. You can't come back to here. Look down at the Bible. Let's keep reading. He said in verse 27, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." He wants Lazarus to go give the gospel to his family. Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Now look, Lazarus could have come back, he's saying, and won some soul. I mean, got this guy's brother saved. But did God allow him to do that? No. And so, I can see Lazarus up in heaven saying, "I'll go. I'll tell him. I'd love to tell him." And God's going to have to turn to Lazarus and say, "Well, you had your chance to win souls. They have Moses and the prophets. There are people on the earth that are out preaching the gospel. And you know, when you get to heaven, your work's done." Paul said, "I've finished my course. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith." He said, I'm done. I'm now ready to be offered. You see, one day it's going to be too late to go soul winning. You'll have won your last soul when you're in heaven. And so you have to understand that not only is it too late for those who are in hell, one day it's going to be too late for you to win anybody to Christ. And that's a chilling thought. But let's move on. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1:24. So we saw, first of all, that Those who are often reproved and they harden their neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. People who come to a church like this and they hear preaching that maybe they're a Christian and they hear constant, and they are saved and they're going to heaven, and they hear the constant warnings from God about how to live their life and to abstain from fornication, to abstain from alcohol and drunkenness, and abstain from the filth of this world. And they hear it again and again and again, and they harden their neck. God says one day destruction is going to come to that life, and there's going to be no remedy. Not only that, but some people, they don't raise their children. They ship them off to a daycare center somewhere. They ship them off to people all the time. They stick them in front of the television all day, and the television is like a surrogate babysitter, and Barney and Friends, and the Queer Wiggles, and the
help me out here. What else
is on the stupid TV? Those Wiggles. Don't give me anything about those Wiggles, or the queerest thing on television. And if you put your little boy in front of the Wiggles, why don't you just put a sign on him that says, I want my son to be a faggot. That's what you ought to put a sign on him. And then you put on a shirt that says, I'm a fool. And you say, oh, that's pretty harsh words. Yes, it is. Because if you put your kids in front of those little fairies and sodomites, you ought to have somebody tell you the truth about it.
Right.
It's garbage. You think my boys are going to sit there and watch a bunch of guys in their tight pants wiggling their booties and some gay little rock and roll band? Hey, you got another thing coming to you. You must have stumbled into the wrong church this morning.
Right.
You know, I believe in a Bible that says men should be like men.
Amen.
That men should talk like men and act like men and dress like men and not act like girls and not act effeminate. The Bible says the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hey, there's going to be no queer little sissies in heaven. Thank God.
Amen.
So the Bible says. And by the way, if you're a lady, be proud that you're a lady. Act like a lady. Be feminine. Well, did you know there used to be a day, this will shock some of you that are younger, but there used to be a day, and I'm young, but there used to be a day when you could tell the difference between a man and a woman walking down the street? You didn't have to sit there and look at it and wonder, is this a man? Is it male? Is it female? It's disgusting. It's the world we live in. And somebody ought to say something. Yeah, I can't believe you're saying that. Look, I have to, nobody else is saying something about it. I got to say something about it. And so, I don't know what that had to do with the sermon, but oh yeah. You know, it's going to be too late. Hey, it's going to be too late one day to raise your kids.
Yep.
You're going to wish one day that your kids will sit down and talk to you. But they're going to be too busy because they're going to be out busy and working and doing their life and doing everything wrong. And you're going to wish they'd listen to you. You know, they would have listened to you when they were two. They would have listened to you when they were three. They would have listened to you when they were four. But you were too busy with everything else. And you ship them off and stick them in front of the TV and daycare and babysitter. Hey, sit down and spend time with your kids. The Bible says a child that is left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Amen.
We need to get back to some parenting. Where you sit down and spend time with your children and raise your children and chasten them while there's hope. You see, a child that is not spanked, a child that is not disciplined, will grow up and be a criminal. Will grow up and be wicked. The Bible says it, and I believe it. And so you can say, well, you know, I just sip them off to daycare. Do they spank your kid at daycare? Oh, it's a Christian daycare. Oh, wait, they spank your kid at the Christian daycare? I doubt it. I'm sure that's probably illegal. They might pat it on the rear end once in a blue. That's what they did when we went to Christian. I grew up in Christian school, you know, once about every couple of years or something. Every two or three years, you'd get called into the principal's office and he'd pat you on the rear end with a wooden paddle. You know, that's not the kind of spanking the Bible's talking about. Yeah, spankings happen a little more often than that, than every 2 years. And so you have to understand that you need to take the responsibility for your children while there's time now. Your kids are, you say, well, when is it too late? When they leave the house. If they're in your house, well, you know, they're out of control. They're this age, they're that age. No, if they're in your house, you better discipline them.
Amen.
And rule over them. Okay?
Right.
You shouldn't have to spank your adult children. That's all I'm saying, okay? But hey, you know what? I'm telling you something, spanking should get less and less frequent the older your kids get. Because
right.
Hopefully they're learning something. Right? I mean, think about it. You know, I think I got my last spanking when I was, I got my last spanking I think when I was 12 or 11. And man, was it a bad one. And that was I decided I'm never doing this again. Okay. And I remember that one to this day. Okay. And so I got my last spanking when I was 12 because my parents spanked me all the way up. And by then I had things figured out that when mom and dad say something, I'm going to listen. Okay.
Amen.
I'm going to obey. If they rebuke me, I'm going to take correction. And so you got to raise your children while there's hope. One day it's going to be too late. You're going to wish you could, but so it. One day it's going to be too late, and it is too late for everyone who goes to hell. It's too late. And that's why one day it's going to be too late to win souls. That's why we got to win souls now. Get people saved today. Today's the day of salvation. But not only that, and here's a chilling thought. Not only will one day people be cast forever into the lake of fire and go to hell eternally with no hope, no remedy. But not only that, the Bible teaches that it's too late for those who've been rejected by God. Those who've been rejected by God that are still walking on this earth. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. This verse, I'll read this for you in Jeremiah 6:30. You stay in Proverbs 1. The Bible reads, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." Did you hear that? The Lord has rejected them. Now keep your finger in Proverbs 1. I want you to see this. Look at Hosea 9:15. Keep your finger in Proverbs 1 and go ahead and flip over to Hosea 9:15 if you'd like, just to look at one verse in Hosea 9:15. And here's a forgotten truth in the Bible, a lost truth, that when I was a child, I heard this preached. And pastors used to get up and preach on this. And I have tapes of old preaching I listen to, and this is something that I've heard preached on many times. You listen to the old tapes of preachers from the 50s and 60s and 70s. They preach this truth from the Bible. But these days, it's almost like it's fallen off the face of the earth. That there comes a time, listen to me now, when an unsaved man, talking about people that are not saved, that have never received Jesus Christ, have never believed on Jesus Christ, where they cross a line with God, where God's finished with them, rejects them. They cross that deadline, and God says, that's it. You're done. You're rejected. It's too late for you. Look at Hosea 9:15. The Bible reads, "All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them." Now who's speaking here? God. He says, "There I hated them." You say, God is love. Yes, God is love, but there are people whom God hates, according to the Bible. Face it. Deal with it. He says, "For there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings will I drive them out of mine house." And watch this phrase, "I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters." Now wait a minute. Did you know this? Did you know that every single baby that's born into this world, every baby that's in its mother's womb and then is born and then grows up and is a little child, hey, you know, the song rings true. Jesus loves the little children. Who said that? All the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You see, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see how God opens up salvation to everybody? He said, "I loved everybody." He said, "I died for everybody. I want everybody to be saved." But there comes a time when a person can cross a line with God where it becomes too late for them to get saved. It's true.
That's right.
Where they can cross a line where it becomes too late. God gives them a chance to be saved. They reject it. God gives them another chance to be saved. They reject it. God gives them another chance to be saved. They reject it. And finally, God is done with it. He rejects them and says, "It's too late for you. I'm through with you." There are people walking on this earth who God hates, according to the Bible. He says, and just to make it clear, because people will say, well, you know, maybe He loves them and hates them at the same time. People are weird, aren't they? Come up with things like that. But He says, no. He says, "I'll love them no more." He said, "Let me just make it real clear to you. I hate them and I don't love them anymore." Any questions? Hosea 9:15. Now, you see, I find that hard to believe that God would give up on anybody. Well, there are billions of people burning in hell right now. It's too late for them. Do you find that hard to believe? It's the truth. And there are people that are still on this earth whom it's too late for. "Seek the Lord while He may be found," the Bible says. And so look if you would at Proverbs 1 where I had you turn. And you say, well, wait a minute. I heard the preacher, pastor of my church said, God loves everybody. Well, he can say that all he wants. And God did love everybody at one point. I mean, every little child grew up, God loves them. But I'm going to tell you something. People who cross the line with God, He can drive him to hating them. I remember when I was a teenager, when I was 15 years old, a friend of mine, this girl walked up to me and she said, "Steve, does God love everyone?" And I said, "Yes." And she handed me the Bible open to Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. You don't have to turn there, but it says, "Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau." And she said, "Now do you think God loves everybody?" And I looked at her, and what do you think I said? No. See, look, if somebody shows me something in the Bible, I'm going to be corrected. I'm going to stand corrected. In fact, if you show me something after the service where I'm wrong, I'll take the correction. Because this is my authority right here, the Bible. And this ought to be your authority, okay? And so the Bible says in Proverbs 1:24, watch this, this chilling passage. It says, "Because I have called, and ye refused." Proverbs 1:24. "I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded." So here's God calling out for people. Be saved. Believe on Jesus Christ. I loved you. I died for you. I want you to be saved. I want you to go to heaven. He's calling out to them. He says, "And ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof." This is God speaking. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." Did you hear that? When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer." Are you listening? "They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." You see, God is a loving God. You see, how could a God that loves send anyone to hell? How could a God that loves give up on anybody? How could a God that loves hate anybody? Because God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so you say, does God love if He sends people to hell? He loved them so much that He went to hell so that they wouldn't have to. He loved them so much that He was beaten beyond recognition as a human man. And when He was hanging on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's love. "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Hey, Jesus Christ had the greatest love that's ever been known. That He would die for those who were cursing Him and die for those who'd beaten Him and nailed Him to the cross, to die for sinners because of love. But just because God loved you enough to die for you and pay for your sins, He still says, "He that believeth not shall be damned," in Mark chapter 16. And so it's a fact. I mean, God loves you so much that He'll save you if you believe on Him. But if you reject Him, He'll reject you. Now, if a person dies and breathes their last breath without believing on Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will immediately, that second they'll find themselves in hell, the Bible teaches. The rich man in Luke 16 lifted up his eyes and he was in hell. But not only that, listen to me carefully. A person who's still alive, who rejects the truth, won't listen, rejects the gospel, God will eventually reject them. Now, the word reprobate is what the Bible uses. The first time the word reprobate is ever used in the Bible is in Jeremiah 6:30. God defines it. He says, "Reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord has rejected them." Okay, that's what a reprobate means. It's something that's been rejected by God. You reject God, eventually He'll reject you. Now, He's very merciful and gracious, and He'll give a chance and another chance and another chance, but eventually He's had enough. You cross the line. Look at Romans chapter 1. Actually, stick a finger in Romans 1. Look at Ephesians 4, just a few books later. Or you can just turn to Romans 1. But Ephesians 4:18. Listen to this. The Bible reads, and I want you to think about this passage in Ephesians 4 as we read Romans 1. The Bible reads in Ephesians 4:18, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see, there are people in this world that are past feeling. Did you see that phrase in Ephesians 4:18? Past feeling. It says their understanding's been darkened. I want you to remember that when we read Romans 1. He says that they have blindness in their heart and they've been past feeling. I mean, I've known people who've done the most wicked and awful things and they didn't even care. I knew a girl who was in a drunk driving accident, killed several other people in the other car, and her family said she had no remorse. She didn't even feel bad for them. Didn't even feel bad about it. Didn't even care. That because of her irresponsibility and drunk driving, people had died in a bloody death in another car. She didn't even care. She's past feeling. I mean, there are people who are monsters. Pick up the newspaper and read just about the valley. Just get the valley section. And you'll see that there are predators out there, kidnappers, wicked people who have no feeling. They have no conscience. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care what happened. Why? Because they've just pushed it so far with God. God has just given them up and they're past feeling. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And of course, that's the same thing it said in Ephesians 4, that they had the understanding darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, watch this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile or disgusting affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. See, what would make a person become so twisted and so perverted that a man would actually desire another man? It's disgusting. It's vile. How could a person even get there? Say, good night. It's weird. I can't even understand it. It's so sick and perverted. Now, some of you can understand because you sit and watch it all day on TV and you laugh at it and think it's funny. I don't think there's anything funny about perverted, disgusting, wicked, filthy sin. There's nothing funny. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. See, how could a person get to that point? Well, there's only one way to get to that twisted point, is where God gives you up. He gives you over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He gives up. It says three times in the chapter, He gave them up. He gave them over. He gave them up. He says, I've rejected you. You're a reprobate. I'm done with you. You say, well, isn't there any hope for them? No. You got to get people saved before it gets too late. Well, what, you don't love them? No. But you know what? I love the people for whom it's not too late. I want to get them saved. And so if you want to talk about love to me, my friend, don't just say love. The Bible says, let us not love in tongue or in word, but in deed and in truth. Hey, if you have love, let's go out and get the gospel to those for whom it's not too late. I mean, if you love sinners, be out with me. Be with those that are here, out on soul winning. And we'll knock doors, and we'll find people. We don't care where they live. We don't care their economic background. I told Kevin yesterday we were sowing. I said, let's go find, we got to find a poor neighborhood. We're trying to find the poorest neighborhood we could. We don't care about money. We don't care about the offering plate. We don't care about buildings and vehicles. Hey, we care about going out and winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Love. Say, this church isn't very loving. This is the most loving church you've ever sat in your life. You see, love is the person who goes out and says, I'm going to find the unsaved, the unlovable. I'm going to find the one that's never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to bring him the good news. I'm going to open my Bible. And I'm going to stand out in the Phoenix sun and preach to them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's love. See, the pastor who gets up and tells you sweetness and light on Sunday morning, and that's all. And you know, I have my own little sweetness and light sermon. You might have been gone that week, but trust me, it was... you might have missed out. It happened. Get the tape. Go through the tapes. They're there. But you know, the pastor just gets up and says, sweetness and light. Peace. Love. Hope. Charity. You know what? That's fine. That's fine, girls. Until you go out and you get pregnant out of wedlock and, you know, you have to deal with those problems. It's all fine and dandy, right? Oh man, I love this church because I feel so good when I go there. Yeah, that's fine. Until your kids grow up and become monsters and perverts and criminals. I remember somebody told me that I grew up with. He told me, he said, you know, you're preaching in your church. He said, this isn't the kind of church that we grew up in, Steve. He said, you know, he's like, you've changed. He said, this isn't what we grew up in. He said, at so-and-so Baptist church, it wasn't like this. I said, you're right, it wasn't. But let's go through a rundown of the lives of those people today. The song leader's son, you know, I just started going through the lives of the people at that church to this guy. I said, well, the song leader's son's a homo. He's a bouncer at a gay bar in Sacramento, California. I said, and I began to list others that were sodomites. I began to list others who were living in wicked sin. I began to list others who'd gotten pregnant out of wedlock and done all this stuff. And I just said, look, obviously what they were preaching there, yes, it was watered down. And that's why people didn't get the warning that they needed. And again, I'm not preaching to people who've already made the mistakes. Hey, forget about it. Let it go. You know, somebody said to me about one of my friends, he's a convicted felon. I said, so what? I love the guy. You know, I mean, that's one of my best friends. Care if he's a convicted felon. We have a lot in common, you know. No, I'm not a convicted felon. Not yet. No, just kidding. But the point is, I'm not going to hold somebody's past against them. And by the way, God's not going to hold your past against you. God's the God of forgiveness. And so I'm not trying to rub anybody's nose in anything that they've done wrong. Hey, let it go. It's over. And you know what? I got friends that are convicted felons and whatever. Hey, great. No problem. It doesn't bother me one bit. I don't even think of it. And most of the time I just forget about it. I don't even care. I don't dwell on people's mistakes of their past. And you ought not either. Why don't you have some forgiveness like God forgives? Amen. Why don't you let people live their life and move on?
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. There are children in this room right now. And instead of you saying, oh man, I can't believe that he said that because, you know, I've done that sin or whatever. Why don't you have some love for the children and young people and teenagers that are in this room right now that need to hear this kind of preaching before they go out and ruin their life?
Amen.
And if they come to Second Chance Baptist Church every week and just hear, oh, you can sin and do wrong. There's always you can always have a remedy. It'll always be okay. You can always fix it later. You can always come back. You can always straighten it out. It's just not true. And you know, I wish it were true, but it's not. And you can talk to people in this room and outside this room who've made the mistakes, who've quit church, who've gone out and slept around and sowed their wild oats. And you can talk to the people who've gone out and drank and did drugs and have committed these sins. And they'll tell you, don't do what I did.
Amen.
Well, you turned out okay. Yeah, but they have the scars of that life.
That's right.
They never go away.
That's right.
Anybody in this room that's lived a life of sin can tell you that they have the scars that will never go away. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you the truth about it. They'll say, you know what? By the grace of God, I'm doing good now. I'm happy now. Things are going good now. But you know what? I wouldn't want to go through that again.
Amen.
And by the way, there's still things that I'm suffering today. Because you will reap what you sow.
That's right.
Now, when you sow seeds into the ground, you don't reap instantly. It takes a while, you know. You sow, and then it grows, and it grows, and grows, and you'll reap years later. If you put a seed in the ground, it could take years, depending on what you're sowing. It could take several months to many years before you reap. You plant a tree, it's going to be years before you reap any fruit. And by the way, not only do you reap later than you expect, but you reap a lot more than you expect. You can sow one seed and get 100-fold in return. You sow the wind, the Bible says, you reap the whirlwind. And so many times young people, they're 16, 17, 18 years old, they go out and do it all, and they have no consequences. It's going to catch up to you. And if that doesn't scare you to death, then you're a fool. Then you just don't believe the Bible. Then you're just not listening to what I'm saying. Because if you are often reproved, and you harden your neck, and say, no, I'm not going to listen, I'm going to do it my way, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what God says, you will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And you'll look back and wish that you'd listened, and you'll wish that you hadn't messed up your life, but it will be too late. And maybe you're not saved, and you say, well, I don't even know if I believe the Bible. I'm not even sure if the Bible's true. I don't even know if there is a God. Then you know what? You go ahead and just go out and live your life and ignore God and call God a liar. But you know what? One day you'll die and go to hell and it's going to be too late. Or one day God's just going to get sick of dealing with you. And He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind and reject you. You say, well, I'm not sure if the Bible's true. You know what? Let's say I were sitting here this morning and I wasn't sure that the Bible's true. I'll tell you what I'd do. I wouldn't even go to sleep until I'd read this Bible day and night until I figured out whether it was true or not. Because
right.
I wouldn't even want to take the chance if it's true. And there's a place called hell. I wouldn't even want to gamble that. And you know what? If you want to gamble that, go ahead. But you're going to lose because I know the Bible's true.
Amen.
You may not know that. You may not realize that. But I can promise you that the Bible's true. I know that the Bible's true. People who haven't read the Bible, people who don't know the Bible, people who have been brainwashed by a wicked public school system that teaches them that they grew out of a monkey. They grew from an animal. You know, the fool that has said in his heart there is no God, that said we all evolved from animals. A person who believes that and doesn't, they think the Bible's not true, but it's just because they've been brainwashed. It's just because they've never read it. But I know the Bible's true. And you say, I don't understand why you're preaching the way that you don't. I don't understand why you scream and yell. Because you know what? If you knew what I knew, you'd be screaming and yelling too.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, if my house is burning down, I hope you'll scream and yell and warn me. I hope you won't just like send me a text message. You know what I mean? Send me like a text, hey, BTW, your house is on fire. No, I hope you'll scream and yell and kick the door down. I hope you'll break my windows and scream and say, hey, wake up, you're in danger. And I'm here to tell every unsaved person that's here today, you're in danger of going to hell in the next 5 minutes. You could drop over dead before the service is over. It's the truth. People die unexpectedly, very frequently. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a Christian young person, and we believe in the eternal security of believer, thank God. Once you're saved, you'll always be saved, no matter what. I mean, I couldn't lose my salvation if I tried. You say, are you afraid of going to hell? I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to, because I'm born again, child of God, passed from death unto life.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you something. If you're a Christian young person, if you're saved and born again and on your way to heaven, thank God. But you know what? If you go out and live a life of sin, God is going to cloud up and rain on you. And you may go out and get away with it for a while, but you better listen to this preacher who's trying to reprove you and rebuke you and warn you about sin, because you will be destroyed without remedy. And there's no way to undo the past. You can't change the past. Don't you think that there are things in my life that I wish I could go back and change? When your friend dies and goes to hell because you didn't give him the gospel, you're going to wish you could go back and change that. Think about that. When you go out and commit these sins, when you go out and sleep around, and then you find the right person to marry one day, you know, you're going to wish that you kept yourself pure and will be able to give to your spouse a gift of virginity. That's not often preached, but it's true.
Right. True.
Now, if you've already made the mistake, you know, forget the things that are behind. Reach forth unto those, be pure from this day forward. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Your spouse will appreciate it if you can give them a gift of purity and virginity. And you know what? Once you lose your virginity, guess what? There's no way to get that back.
Right.
It's over. So I can get up here and tell you that there's always a second chance, but there's not. It's not true. And I'm saying that for the sake of the people who are still pure right now, to think twice before they have pleasure for a moment and pain for a lifetime. You see, sometimes it's too late. And I don't want to go on and on this morning, but I've got several other examples in my sermon of people for whom it was too late. Manasseh's wicked sins in the Old Testament. They got right with God. They brought back the house of God and the service of God. But God said, I can't pardon it. It's too late. You're going to go to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It will happen. I'll put it off a little bit because you've done these right things, but it's too late. King Herod. You know, it's too late for King Herod. King Herod once listened to John the Baptist preach, and he would go visit John the Baptist in the jail cell. And John the Baptist would preach the Word of God to him and preach him about Jesus Christ and salvation. One day John the Baptist made a decision between impressing his friends and doing what was right. And what did he do? He cut off the head of John the Baptist. And one day he begged for Jesus to talk to him. And Jesus, do you remember this? Luke chapter, what chapter is it? I'm not going to have you turn there, but it's found, if you want to read about it, Luke chapter 23, where Jesus Christ was brought before King Herod. And King Herod asked him all kinds of questions. He said, what are you teaching? Tell me the gospel. Tell me the truth. Tell me what's going on. Do a miracle. Show me something. Tell me something. Preach something to me. And Jesus did not even answer him one word. Now, did he answer Pontius Pilate a word? Oh, yeah. He spoke to Pilate. He talked to Pilate. But when King Herod talked to him, he wouldn't even answer him. Wouldn't even say a word to him. Why? Because it was too late for King Herod. It's a chilling thought. These two words, not a condemnation, but a warning. Too late. But for many of you today, it's not too late. For salvation, it's not too late. For going out soul winning, it's not too late to get your friends and loved ones saved so that you can see them again in heaven. I'm glad that if my loved ones died, I wouldn't sorrow like those who have no hope. If they're saved, I know I'll see them again in heaven. That's a blessed thought. For many of you who have children still living in your house, it's not too late. It's not too late to invest in those children and raise them right. But for many people in this world, it's too late. And we ought to realize that now is the day. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Win the souls today. Clean your life up today. Straighten yourself out today. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you so much for this church, dear God. And please, if there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray that they would get saved before the day is out. And God, not only that, I pray that those that are here that have maybe been putting off being a soul winner, putting off really getting involved,